Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Lysnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysnica Freedom microchip. Since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip, I jumped on the Lysnica joint.
This Freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
fruits, and they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on freedomizerradio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for joining us tonight. Today is Wednesday. We don't have Amanda. She's out there celebrating her birthday. And for those of you that do follow the Proof Negative show, it is also our co-host Leslie's birthday. So they're both enjoying birthdays, so we have Dahl, who's about to join us here. And Dahl, if you're out there, don't forget to press the lucky number one button on your phone. So everyone else, I did not know what to plan for myself here tonight because I had to make sure I was well enough to actually do a show. Yesterday was perhaps the sickest I ever was in my life. So if you want to be a part of the show tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press that lucky number 1, and you'll be fast-tracked to join us on the Proof Negative show. So let's go ahead and bring Dahl in here.
Hey, Proof. Good to be here. Hey, everybody.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you tonight. Thank you.
Girl, so love. I know I've been missed. Huh? No.
Well,
everybody, I wanted to wish Wendy and both Wendy and Leslie happy birthdays.
Amanda, not Wendy.
Or Amanda, I mean. Amanda. Sorry, Wendy.
Although,
and
I was
sorry,
thinking about calling Wendy, but if she didn't have electric or cell phone reception, I didn't think it would be worth it for her to call in.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, they're getting hammered in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching Joanne Moretti's discussion on it earlier.
Yeah, I checked in on her Facebook page.
So I went to go see Amanda a couple weeks ago. She lives in St. George, Utah. So we've met
before.
So we did a Barefoot is Legal meetup together.
I saw the picture.
Okay. So we were discussing, because I had an episode there, but it wasn't like this. And I'm still feeling the effects, but at least as long as I'm not standing up too long, or I could still function.
Well, so was it a food allergy reaction, or what do you know? Yeah.
Well, I made some macaroni and cheese, just my version.
Yeah.
So I wasn't doing any box stuff. And everything was good until about 6:30 in the morning. I'm getting ready for work. And I have it coming out of both ends. And so on short notice, I called into my day job. And the second I get off the phone, I have to run to the restroom. And I spend about 20 to 30 minutes in there. And not just that, but I had Parkinson's for a few hours, of all things.
Crazy shaking and...
Oh, it was
quaking.
Violent shaking. And it wasn't like anybody else was here, so it wasn't... I didn't have any... I wasn't going to call the ambulance to come get me. But... Yeah, I was not good. So I ended up just going back to bed around 8 o'clock. I woke up around 12:30. We have a new puppy, so I let the puppy out for a few minutes and stood outside. And then around 1 o'clock, I noticed that my Parkinson's was going away.
Good grief. That's terrifying, you know, especially when it's just, you know, you ate your own food, you know, everything. It's like, what the hell?
So I learned something.
Yeah.
I grabbed an article from a few years ago because I was trying to see what it was, because Amanda did a test on me. I don't know what to call her office exactly. But it's an alternative health office.
Uh-huh.
And she told me that I have a cheese allergy, and I've had cheeseburgers my whole life. And I've eaten cheese with no problems before. But having the Parkinson's and just trying to figure out the common denominator here, because that Parkinson scared me. The throwing up and everything else, I could live with that. But Parkinson's is no joke. So I found an article from nutritionfacts.org why some dairy products are more closely linked to Parkinson's. And it says here, and I'll just read a little bit, Parkinson's is the second most neurodegenerative disease after Alzheimer's. Each year in the United States, approximately 60,000 new cases are diagnosed, bringing the total number of current cases up to about 1 million, with tens of thousands of people dying from the disease every year. The dietary component most often implicated is milk. And by the way, I did not use any milk in my macaroni and cheese. I just used cheese. But
cheese has...
There it is. Go ahead.
Well, cheese has milk.
Oh, of course. That's why I'm bringing it up.
I've seen
several articles about how cheese could be a link to Parkinson's.
Okay.
Not saying that if you eat a lot of cheese, you're going to get Parkinson's, but if you develop an allergy and you keep eating it, that there could be a risk down the road. And if you develop an issue, you want to stamp that out, basically.
Okay.
But,
well,
yeah, that was
here
scary.
In this article that you sent, you linked to me, the one that you're referencing, has a really interesting point in this. And I had to read it twice. I was like, what am I reading? But so the article goes on to saying, so researchers have suggested reverse causation. The milk does not cause Parkinson's. The Parkinson's cause the milk. Parkinson's makes some people depressed, they reasoned, and depressed people may drink more milk. As such, they suggested we should limit dairy intake for people with Parkinson's, especially blah, blah, blah. But what is interesting is it's not the milk itself. It's like in this link that you sent me, they're citing the chemicals and the pesticides in the milk. And we know that, you know, there's no argument to that. You know, that there are links to that. They've found it time and time again. And the fact that more and more Alzheimer's and Parkinson's cases are being reported, just even, you know, more numbers in the United States, just goes to state that we are a wealthier nation. We do eat a more diverse diet. We're eating a lot more of these chemicals than other people that are found in this milk, these milk enzymes and stuff. And
yeah,
these aren't naturally occurring. These are man-made pesticides, whether it, you know, it's coming from the field or from the medicine they're given, the you know, or genetically modified. I almost said deer. I'm so used to seeing deer in Alaska, but cows.
Oh.
You know, when you're modifying all that type of stuff. So, and it also too, proof. I wouldn't discount the feed that the GMOs and the stuff that they're feeding these cows, these altered crops, super crops that they've created for feed, have got to be linking in this. And I think, you know, that there is a cause for caution and you know, I know groceries are expensive and whatnot, and there's no guarantee even with organic milk that you're really getting what it's in the box. But I think one of the best things people can do is, if you can, is to buy straight from the source.
Yeah, the raw milk.
Yeah. And even these days, you know, these small family dairies are gladly packaging their own milk, you know, and you can a lot of times visit the site where the cows are and look at yourself. There's, you know, because a farmer may say, I only feed my cow this, this, and this for dairy stuff, but you have to look at environmental factors around it. Water source, air quality, heavy metals, or airplane runway at the end of the field. You know, there's a lot of things. And I bring that up because in Washington State, in I would say like probably 1950s through the 70s, a lot of Washingtonians were had thyroid problems because of all the radiation they were consuming, due to the fact that the dairy farms were all downwind from the Hanford nuclear reactor. So a lot of people, they found, you know, high levels of nuclear garbage in their blood, and a lot of kids on thyroid medications back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. So yeah, it's not only, you know, I mean, know where you're sourcing your food from if you can. I know it's not a convenience for everybody, and for a lot of folks these days, it's financially out of reach.
Well, and you know me, I made it myself, so I had organic pasta noodles, grass-fed beef, and of course I put vegetables in it, and I had my cheese. And I don't use Kraft or cheap cheese because I know what happens.
Yeah.
That's why I was just shocked. And having that Parkinson's, and I took a nap and woke up with it, and then finally after about 6 hours it went away. I just couldn't believe. And I was home by myself, so I don't even know if I could talk or not. I didn't even try.
Well, you could type. And that was good because you typed to me.
Well, between 7 and 1, I couldn't.
No, yeah, that's true. Yeah, my heart goes out to you. That sucks.
Yeah, and I felt bad. I couldn't prepare for a show tonight because if I still felt bad, I would have called off today again. But I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about food, for those of listeners, some of you listeners know, but some don't know, but I live in rural Southeast Alaska, and you wouldn't think of Alaska, Southeast Alaska, as it's more of a temperate rainforest. We do get lots of snow and stuff, and I live on the coastline, and we have an abundance of forageable plants and berries and mushrooms that are really high in your daily intake of calcium and iron, different minerals, and then of course, I'm sorry?
What berries?
Oh, we have blueberries, huckleberries, service berries, salmon berries, wild choke cherry, low bush cranberry, high bush cranberry, lingonberry, gooseberry.
That's gooseberries, right?
Lots of berries. I'll have to mail you some I'll mail you some apple butter too. I made some apple butter yesterday and canned it up, but I also got my huckleberry jam all canned up, and oh my gosh, it's transcending. And the berries were picked at peak ripeness on top of the mountain, clean water, fresh air, beautiful berries. And but I have been focusing on eating more because our hunting seasons are prolonged here for deer and whatnot. You know, we're able to, there's only a lull of a few months where we can't hunt. But my iron and vitamin B12 levels have been in the tank, and I just haven't been able to get them up. And so I've been eating a concentrated diet of salmon, shrimp, and oysters, along with the berries, beech asparagus, some foraged greens, different plantains that we have, and mushrooms. As of recent, the mushrooms have been coming up. And I just had my blood work done, and my levels are the best that they have ever been. And that's a miracle because my health has been up and down the last, 10 years. And just by focusing and having one of those principal foods in each meal, whether it's the mushrooms in a omelet, because I don't have chickens at present, but I'm able to buy fresh eggs in the village, so fresh eggs and chanterelle mushrooms or hedgehog mushrooms or whatever it is. And I will send you some pictures. I harvested winter chanterelle mushrooms today, and I'll wash them up tonight, and then dry them out a little bit tomorrow, and then pull some of the moisture out with some heat by cooking them. And then what I do is that, and then once I pull the moisture off, drain a bunch of the moisture off, then I'll season them a little tiny bit, and then toss them in some olive oil, and then put them in little muffin tins, let them freeze, and then pop them out of the muffin tins, and then vacuum seal the little hockey pucks, and it's like perfect for recipes if you want to have fresh mushrooms in there. Well, not fresh anymore, but wild mushrooms in a recipe, then you just go pull out a hockey puck and throw it in your sauce. Yeah, so I've been in Sitka, so these last few weeks I haven't been on the building site, and I'm able to like catch up on some of my foraging and putting up for the winter so that my family has these things. These foods are full of nutrients that by the time I get produce on the barge from the lower 48, it's so damaged that it's rarely ever finished by my family, especially the fruits and stuff. So I always have to come up with alternative ways, you know, to get them to eat their, you know, greens and whatnot. So, yeah. I'd share that, but the mushroom picking's just been transcending. I mean, just beautiful up on top of the mountain. And the huckleberry picking, we did that last week, and we went up in a glacial field up on top of this peak where the snow melted last, so the berries weren't all gone and beat up and all that. So we were pretty lucky the bears saved us some.
So, yeah, something that just happened recently, as in just a little bit ago.
All right, breaking news.
The rapper Coolio passed away today at age 59.
No!
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's sad.
I didn't know if you were into hip-hop like that.
Oh, yeah, I know who Julio is. Come on. I'm a West Coast Alaska girl. We still get radio and TV and XM and all kinds of stuff. No. Are they citing any cause of death or?
Yes. Yes. So he was found dead in a bathroom at his friend's house. So he was visiting a friend Wednesday afternoon, which is today, and went to the restroom. And after a while, the friend went inside and found him on the floor. He had a heart attack.
It sounds like code for overdose, unless he did it at Elvis.
Unless he got a gene therapy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no good. Yeah, people are those boosters out for that mRNA gene therapy?
The Modernas they were made. Nobody wants them.
Yeah, who the hell wants them? Nobody wants them. It's a crying shame, you know, that and the government's going to spend millions and millions and billions of dollars, millions and billions, there's trillions of dollars on this crap. And 10% goes to the big guy and the rest gets thrown away.
10% of the gene therapies go to the big guy. That's true.
Well, I mean the funds, and, you know, he'll get, people are going to get paid. Everybody's going to get paid, but it'll get thrown away. But the big guy's still going to get his 10%.
Did you see a couple days ago where the CEO of Pfizer announced again that he got COVID?
Yeah, I saw that. And it's not his first time either.
No, it's his fifth time.
Yeah, I believe it's stated in the article, I did read that article a couple days ago, and I do believe it stated that this is the second time he had COVID in the last 30 days as well.
No, that's what he asked for.
Yep. Yep. It's amazing how quickly that just went away. Not fast enough, the whole scamdemic overreach worldwide. And I won't say that they didn't achieve their goal. And I say they as in the elitists, Soros, and, you know, all of them, the bad guys. They've seen how quickly and readily we're able to muster and comply to their every wish and desire. And, you know, there is this we used to call it a slippery slope, but now it's just a roller coaster ride to this one world order. But yeah, that I'm not surprised, and that this guy got it, you know, again, and that he's up there and a visible person, you know, everybody, I don't know, everybody that I know that have had the jab has gotten so sick from COVID, they thought they were going to die, so they claim each and every one of them. And B, they've had COVID supposedly multiple times. And now a lot of them just don't even get better after they get it. And this is just a common cold. So whatever these people got in these, you know, jabs was something that's going to harm them, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, well, I'm not thinking that Coolio was involved in drugs. I always think the best of people. I'm not saying he was not a druggie, but I'm just under the impression when it comes to heart attacks these days that I'm siding with gene therapies.
I agree. I do agree.
I'm trying to think of what rappers are still around even. It's like you have Eminem and that's and Dr. Dre, and that's about it.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, I don't really.
Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye, I guess.
Ice-T. We have Dr. Dre. Not too many of them. Either they're dead or in prison, poor thing.
Well, you could say that about most 80s singers, too, I guess.
Yep.
Madonna's the only big one that stayed alive. Go ahead.
Oh, Madonna, is she even fully human anymore? I mean, her robot, she's like a fucking robot. She's creepy.
Oh, I understand. I saw her in concert once, and that was the worst concert I've ever seen, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh. What year was that?
2005 or 6.
Was it in Las? Well, it must have been in Las Vegas, huh?
No, it was at Coachella in Palm Springs.
Oh, fun! Coachella, I mean.
Yeah, she got on stage late, left early. And she only played one song that people knew. The rest of them, I don't know what they were even on. So it's like she did whatever she wanted and nobody was interested.
Oh, my gosh. Yep, she's an old has-been.
Yeah. Yeah, she hasn't been relevant for at least 15 years.
Yeah, she did a creepy, one of those creepy videos during COVID, and she was, like, in the bathtub, and she, I'm not letting it take this from me, and I'm going to do whatever. I can't even remember. It was so creepy, I could barely watch the whole thing.
I was never even a Madonna fan, but Coachella's a three-day music festival, and we ended up, I don't know how, but we were at a certain point. My friend Tony and I were at a stage, and we were literally standing in the secret spot where you get free tickets to the front row as opposed to being in the area with everybody else, that you got to stay in the VIP area, and you had to go through all the DJ sets of everybody, and then at the end, Madonna comes on.
Whoa!
But, hey, you spent 2 days walking around. There wasn't much we wanted to see. We were hot and tired. We got front row to everybody that was in the DJ booth. It was okay. I'm not mad. It's just that Madonna didn't put on an act that I felt was Coachella worthy.
Yeah. She seems a little like second act for Coachella, you know? Like, not one of the main headliners.
Yeah, but she was the big draw, and we didn't care. But when we were the first ones in line, and the Coachella, the employees were like, "You're nuts! You don't want the VIP for Madonna?" Like, yeah, we'll take it. We wanted a rest day anyway, so. And that's one thing, if you ever do a three-day festival, if there's a tent that you can stay out of the sun and just sit down and cool off for a bit, you might want to take advantage of that. Because 3 days out there, there's only so much music that you can listen to.
I'm all about the VIP experience.
What's funny is that I was in that same tent the night before when I saw Daft Punk, and that was the best concert I've ever seen. And then to follow it up the very next night with the worst concert, it was just not good. But
well, good
I
thing it wasn't
the
fire festival.
Go ahead.
Oh, good thing it wasn't the Fire Festival.
That's true. But one thing I will say, one little pro tip, if you're ever doing a big concert festival like that with multiple stages, make sure if there's somebody you really want, you might have to miss a couple of other acts. Because here's what we did. We missed Weezer and Depeche Mode so we could see Daft Punk. And before Daft Punk, there was a band that completely sucked ass called the Audio Bullies. They had about 10 people in their tent. We just sat down right in the middle of the tent and just hung out while
sounds
everybody
like
was at Weezer or Depeche Mode. And then when Daft Punk was up, we were the only people there while there was nobody in there for 30 minutes working. So we literally, I got to rest my arm on the stage while Daft Punk was doing their thing.
Awesome.
But that's what you have to do sometimes. You have to see a band that sucks to get to your favorite band. Because if Depeche Mode was on in that same tent, then it wouldn't have gone that way.
Yeah.
And you don't know how bad I wanted to see Depeche Mode.
I love Depeche Mode. I've always loved Depeche Mode. They're icons in my teenagehood.
Yeah, like Depeche Mode is one of my top 10 favorite bands of all time, but you don't get to see Daft Punk all that often, so I had to make a decision.
Yeah, tough one, but you know, that's what's fun about festivals is sometimes you have to make that sacrifice.
Yeah. That is true. So that's what we did.
Nice. Let's see here. So, what else are we going to discuss?
It's not really that important to me, but it is news. But Aaron Judge officially just hit his 61st home run to tie Roger Maris' American League record for most home runs in a year.
We're wrapping up baseball season. Yeah, that's amazing. That's a lot.
Not that we have to spend that much time on it. I just figured I would throw it out there. I was trying not to get too wrapped up into what's going on in Florida.
Yeah. Well, what about Nord Stream?
Oh, we haven't even gotten into that.
No, we haven't. And it's so interesting because it's an important event. And I know everybody's talking about it and stuff, but I thought it'd be interesting and I was hoping we'd get some callers, you know, call in and give their take on it. I know there's a couple callers that I'd really like to hear from but you know, I mean, this is an important geopolitical event and there's a lot of unknowns about it right now and theories on who did it and why they did it. And I have my own theory, and I'm sure you have your own theory. I'd love to hear that. And anybody else that has thoughts?
I'll spill my thoughts on it. And we have Tucker Carlson who gave his thoughts on it as well. But
okay,
there's only one country that gains from this, and that's the United States. And there's no way in the world Russia would do this to themselves. And Brandon, previously, he said he would do whatever it takes to close down that pipeline. And when you see all these food processing plants close or have fires or spontaneously collapse, It just makes me wonder how is the United States not involved? I'm not saying I know for a fact they did it, but it looks highly suspect. That's my thoughts in a quick 60-second nutshell.
All right, so I also believe that there is culpability on the part of the United States and as well as NATO. You know, it was not just us. It had to have been, like, multi-people, you know, working together to make this happen. Who knows? We do have the capacity to do a covert operation like that. It creates the perfect false flag event. It's easy for the U.S. to say that Putin did this. You know, he is old school KGB. He's got a different way of thinking. They're very, he's an avid chess player, and sometimes you have to sacrifice one for the other. However, I think what they'll do is paint it as Putin did this because of the sanctions we put on him. You know, Trump put sanctions on Nord Stream. Biden didn't really want to do it. Everything else. So there's nothing to say that they won't try to paint the picture that Putin said, well, if I can't have this, nobody can have it type scenario. You know, who knows? Maybe it was China. But I do see them saying that they are going to blame it on the Russians. But it wasn't the Russians. I believe that it was the United States or you know, along with NATO and the One World Order. They do not want to see energy dependence. They do not want Europe to get a taste of efficient, cheap, dependable electricity. The UK phased out of coal and went to try going to wind power, everything else. Those folks pay so much for utilities there and energy products and petrol and everything else. They don't want that to change. They don't want them to be financially independent and have more money to improve their lives. Because if you look at the UK and Scotland and all of them, there are so many people that are unemployed or underemployed and depending on, they live on the dole. And we're talking multi-generational and resources that are no longer mined there or produced there, like steel and coal and whatnot. So they want, this creates the perfect picture where, you know, that energy source is cut off and U.S. government gets what they want. And Joe Biden, he did, like you said, he said it himself, that they would do something like this. And I find it really interesting that within the same time frame that this happened, they passed a bill with like $35 million in aid just for nuclear attacks in Ukraine. So this is a huge form of eco-terrorism too. All these people that want to claim that they love the earth and we got to be green as they fly around in their jets blowing shit up in the ocean that's killing marine life.
Yeah, there's a lot of fakes out there. They want nuclear war with Russia, but they don't want us to eat cows or they just want us to eat the bugs.
Yes, the bugs.
And you have to say it that way, Z.
Yeah, the bugs. The bugs are on the menu tonight. Oh, my goodness. So we should go ahead maybe, and if you don't mind, we play that Tucker Carlson clip while we're talking about that, because I did hear bits and pieces of that, and I think it's definitely thought-provoking.
Yeah, let me get that up here.
Okay.
All right, I just have to refresh my my switchboard here. All right, let's get it going here.
All right, let's go.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. I hate to start a Tuesday evening on a grim note, but one of the environmental catastrophes, one of the great environmental catastrophes of our time, is unfolding tonight off the coast of Denmark. The Nord Stream pipelines, which are enormous Russian-owned conduits that carry natural gas from Russia to Western Europe, have been breached. As we speak, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 are pouring millions of cubic meters of natural gas into the Baltic Sea. Pictures from the air, which you can now see on your screen, show a toxic bubble field more than half a mile wide. You can only guess at how many marine mammals are being killed right now. Countless. But the lasting damage may be to the atmosphere. Natural gas is comprised of up to 90% methane. Methane, as Joe Biden has often told you, is the key driver of global warming, which is, of course, an existential threat to humanity and the planet. So if you're worried about climate change, what just happened to the Nord Stream pipelines is as close to the apocalypse as we have ever come. So the question is, how did this happen? And it turns out it was not an accident. At the very same time that leaks in these pipelines were detected, Swedish officials recorded two powerful undersea explosions, each one of which was equivalent to hundreds of pounds of TNT. Nothing in nature can account for that. Almost immediately, the pipelines began leaking in three separate places. So there's only one explanation for what happened. This was an act of industrial terrorism. That was very obvious to the Prime Minister of Poland, and he wasted no time in saying so. Watch.
Today, we are also dealing with an act of sabotage. We do not know the details of what happened yet, but we can clearly see that it is an act of sabotage, an act that probably marks the next stage in the escalation of the situation we are dealing with in Ukraine.
We can clearly see, he said, this was an act of sabotage, an act of terrorism. Well, yes, we can see that. So the question is, who did it? And of course, the prime suspect is obvious. It would be the same man who caused domestic inflation here in the U.S. and stole the 2016 election from Hillary Clinton. That'd be Vladimir V. Putin. The Washington Post got right to it. Putin, they declared, is now weaponizing the Nord Stream pipeline. According to the Canadian ambassador to the UN, Vladimir Putin has decided to use, quote, pollution as an act of war. Progressive Twitter strongly endorsed this conclusion. Putin did it. And that makes sense until you thought about it for just a moment. Vladimir Putin may be evil. They tell us that he is evil. But is he stupid? Probably isn't stupid. And yet, and here's the strange part, if you are Vladimir Putin, you would have to be a suicidal moron to blow up your own energy pipelines. That's the one thing you would never do. Natural gas pipelines are the main source of your power and your wealth, and most critically, your leverage over other countries. Europe needs your energy, now more than ever, with winter approaching. If you can't deliver that energy, then countries like Germany have no need to pay attention to what you want. You're in the middle of a war, an all-hands-on-deck war, so you need all the leverage you can get. Under these circumstances, there is no chance you would blow up Nord Stream 1 or 2. Not now, obviously. In fact, it's so obvious that even our famously dim Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, seemed to acknowledge it. Sabotaging Nord Stream, he said today, is, quote, clearly in no one's interest. Right. But really only half right. It is true that blowing up Nord Stream does not help Vladimir Putin. He would not do that. Why would he? But that doesn't mean that other countries wouldn't consider doing it. They would consider it, and we know they have considered it because at least one of them has said so in public. In early February, less than 3 weeks before the war in Ukraine began, Joe Biden suggested on camera that he might take out these pipelines. Why?
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
Notice how he phrased that. He's the president. Doesn't phrase things by accident, particularly when he's reading off cards. He didn't say, I will pause the delivery of gas from Russia to Germany. He said, there won't be a Nord Stream 2. We'll put an end to it. We'll take it out. We'll blow it up. How will you do this? he was asked. I promise you we will be able to do it. They thought this through. And yet those watching, very much including us, didn't take Biden seriously when he said it. This is the president who has declared climate change the most pressing emergency in the history of the world. This is the man who lectures you about using a wood stove or driving an SUV because of its emissions. This is the guy who spent billions trying to mitigate cow flatulence because methane. Would that guy really blow up a methane pipeline in the middle of the Baltic Sea? It was hard to imagine. That would be an unimaginably reckless act. That would be the kind of thing you would do if you wanted to start a nuclear war. It would be insane. And yet, in retrospect, it's obvious they were thinking about this because Joe Biden wasn't the only person to suggest it. Toria Nuland at the State Department said pretty much the very same thing. Nuland is a lifelong war cheerleader. She worked to bring about the Iraq invasion, never apologized, kept going. She helped engineer the coup that overthrew the Ukrainian government some years back. So capable, clearly she's capable of anything. But environmental terrorism, even for Toria Nuland, that seemed too much, too extreme. And yet here she is in January.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies, and I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
One way or the other, we'll stop Nord Stream. Now, looking back, those words seem chilling 8 months later as natural gas pours into the Baltic Sea and is in the atmosphere. So you have to ask, could the Biden administration really do something like this? We can't say for sure. We don't know for sure. We can tell you that close allies of the Biden White House believe they certainly did do it. Radek Sikorski is a Polish politician. He's chairman of the EU-USA delegation in the European Parliament. He's connected. He's also the husband of regime stenographer Ann Applebaum of the Atlantic magazine. Sikorski is so close to Joe Biden that he's got a picture of the two of them together in his Twitter profile. So when the pipelines blew up, Sikorski responded immediately, and here's what he wrote. Thank you, USA. So once again, did the Biden administration really do this? It's hard to believe. Given that it's an atrocity, it's effectively an act of terrorism, we don't want to make that accusation. But we should tell you that, maybe not coincidentally, today a brand new pipeline was unveiled, a pipeline that carries non-Russian natural gas in roughly the same area as Nord Streams 1 and 2. This is called the Baltic Pipe. It was inaugurated in Poland. It will carry natural gas from Norway through Denmark to Poland and other countries nearby. And it's likely to do very well since now it has less competition. Making sense? What does the White House say about this? How are they accounting for what happened today? Well, they're not exactly enthusiastically denying responsibility for it. Instead, they're looking at the upside. Here's the president's publicist noting that the destruction of yet another energy pipeline is yet another opportunity for you to buy an electric car.
As you all know, these pipelines weren't pumping gas into Europe at this time. NS2 was never operational, as you guys know. NS1 has not been operational for weeks because Putin has weaponized energy, and we have said this many times before. This just drives home the importance of our efforts to work together to get alternative gas supplies to Europe and to support efforts to reduce gas consumption and accelerate true energy independence by moving to clean energy economy.
Oh, moving to clean energy. Say the people who very may well be responsible for letting methane into the Baltic Sea and into the atmosphere at a scale that most people can't imagine. The people lecturing you about your SUV may have blown up a natural gas pipeline and created one of the great catastrophes of our time and its effect on the environment. If they did this, this will be one of the craziest, most destructive things any American administration has ever done. But it would also be totally consistent with what they do. What do? They destroy. These people build nothing, not one thing. Instead, they tear down and they desecrate, from historic statues to the Constitution to energy infrastructure. And no one in Congress is trying to stop any of it. They're just preparing for the inevitable fallout. Tonight, the Senate just advanced a spending bill with $35 million for the Department of Energy to, quote, prepare for and respond to potential nuclear and radiological incidents in Ukraine. What? The spending bill also brings the total U.S. expenditure on Ukraine, the war, but also funding its government and energy for Ukraine, to $67 billion on the eve of what could be a massive economic disruption here to our economy. $67 billion. How much is that? Well, it's more than Russia's entire military budget last year. And Congress is expected to fully pass the bill later this week, with Republicans nodding along like the zombies they are. What will be the effect of this? Every action has a reaction, equal and opposite. Blow up the Nord Stream pipelines? Okay, we've entered a new phase, one in which the United States is directly at war with the largest nuclear power in the world. Doesn't mean it'll go nuclear immediately, but it does suggest there could be consequences. If we actually blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, why wouldn't Russia sever undersea internet cables? What would happen if they did that? What would happen if banks in London couldn't communicate with banks in New York? Just that one piece of it, leaving aside its potential effects on our power grid. But let's just say the banks couldn't communicate with each other for one day. What would the economic effect of that be? Oh, we would cascade downward into your house. We could have an actual collapse. We could wind up very quickly in third world conditions. Those are the stakes. Have the people behind this, the geniuses like Torian Newland, considered the effects? Maybe they have. Maybe that was the point. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly open stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Dr. Carlson tonight.
All right, so I don't know if that helped you think about what might have transpired there.
Yeah, well, it, you know, it gives a lot of food for thought, and there are other things, you know, such as the Baltic pipeline that is, you know, that is ready for approval and whatnot. That is a piece of the puzzle a lot of people don't know. There's a lot to it. And I also find it's interesting that this unknown explosion, this, you know, I mean, that seismologists were able to pick up on, kind of reminds me of not on a huge scale such as the Tonga underwater volcano explosion that really was not a volcanic explosion.
Right.
It reminds me of that incident where, you know, seismologists were able to detect it, but there's no other, you know, there was nothing else there. So is there, do we have some kind of weapon now that they tried there in Tonga and said, oh, you better ramp it down a little bit, and it's maybe, you know, energy, focalized energy. I know there's been a lot of, you know, different mechanisms of war that have come about. I mean, there's any way that Biden could have pushed a button. Oops, wrong button. Oh, well, that will do. Can I still have ice cream?
So we have Tulsi Gabbard, who also had something to say on it. I'll go ahead and play. It's a three-minute clip.
All right.
Tulsi Gabbard is a former presidential candidate and former Hawaii congresswoman. Tulsi, it is amazing when you look at the facts and you take away all the disinformation that the left and the media throws at you. This is a real problem in this country. I believe that people are seeing through the noise. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think all these different examples you're showing, Jesse, just point to a few things. Number one is how grossly out of touch they are with the realities and the struggles of everyday Americans all across this country. They're exposing how directly they are lying to us, trying to paint these rosy pictures that are blatantly false and thinking that we're too stupid to see through their lies, and therefore exposing their arrogance. They see themselves as the rulers of this empire. We are their subjects. They know what's best, and we just gotta go along. We just gotta comply. But the reality is the American people are living what's true, which is not this rosy fantasy picture they're painting You know, I just spent a few days with service members in South Florida, Jesse, and they are struggling not only with inflation, but the incredibly high cost of living there, housing, food. The nearest Walmart or Costco is a six-hour drive round trip. I talked with a sergeant first class. He's got a wife and four kids. They're paying almost $5,000 for an on-base apartment, essentially, that is in atrocious and unsafe condition. There's limited on-base housing. In order to move into it, they have to sign a waiver saying that they're okay with living with asbestos and mold and lead paint, putting their health and the health of their families at risk. There are so many different examples we can point to. Biden at the UN saying, hey, here's how many billions of dollars we're going to dish out to countries all around the world. Meanwhile, we have the American people and servicemen and women and their families struggling and suffering right here at home. This is a president and a commander-in-chief who is not only out of touch with reality, but frankly doesn't care about the American people and our well-being. And that's where, as we head toward the polls in just a few weeks here, what I want to see coming out of that is, on Election Day, the American people win. Because regardless of party, we need leaders who will put the well-being and the interest of the American people first. And unfortunately, that's what we've been missing here for a really long time, and we're especially missing it from this administration.
Well said. But when you say you want to put the American people first, they say that's fascist. That's the kind of thing you're dealing with here. It's impossible to have a real conversation. Thank
maddening.
You so much.
Absolutely maddening.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe.
All right. I don't want to hear Hannity right now. But, well, that's what it is. Honestly, I thought that was a different clip, but it works, I guess. But
yeah, it works.
But Brandon is there's no secret that there's nobody on the Democrat side that is not out of touch. You look at everybody on their side, whether it's Kamala, whether it's Mayor Pete, whether it's Brandon, whether it's Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler, they're all just John Fetterwoman. They're all just so out of touch. I don't know who they're even talking to.
Well, they're not talking to, you know, working class America or people that are trying to get jobs or can't keep their jobs because of unrealistic health mandates that are completely off the charts ridiculous. Yeah, they're out of touch. And this is a puppet administration. And, you know, I think it's funny when you mention Mayor Pete. A lot of, you know, look at how many of these people, I mean, Kamala Harris, she couldn't even, you know, hold her own in a presidential election in the beginning. Mayor Pete, same thing, you know. And yet these people somehow magically got jobs with the administration.
Well, they were told, or Mayor Pete was told, if he quits the race, that he'll have an important job in Brandon's presidency. So he took the bait, and he got paid for it. But
yeah, and it was
a
casting
fraud.
Call. That administration is not only fraudulent, but it's also just a quick casting call. Let's just check all the right marks. We need a black woman. We need a gay man. We need a transgender health director. You know, we need all this stuff, and they check these marks.
Yes.
Yeah, so. And they've chose that over competency, you know, and they did not choose the, if you're going to have a puppet administration, at least make it believable, you
yeah,
know,
just
snowball
like,
Americans, not even supposedly.
The press secretary, Jean-Pierre, she checks three boxes. She's an immigrant, gay, and black. And she'll tell you that that's why she got the job.
Yep. They kicked old Circle Back Peppermint Patty off the air and put the other woman there.
I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of Jen Psaki, but I felt bad sometimes on certain stories with her having to explain what Brandon did, because I thought she might have half a brain. Whereas this KJP, no, there's no likability there.
No. No, and she says nothing.
Right.
She says nothing that has, and there's no substance at all in her her conference, her press release or whatever she's doing. It's just, yeah, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and if you say something about it, then you're racist or you're genderist.
Exactly. And I find that in itself as an entire show in itself.
But the thing is that Klaus Schwab says he wants the Earth to be like it was in the 1400s. Which means all the modern conveniences that were made over the last 500 to 600 years would be gone by the wayside. Although you'd have microchips for some reason.
Yeah, we'll have microchips and tube feeding, and they'll just keep, you know, everybody inside or euthanize everybody and then they can live without so many modern conveniences. Or maybe he's just talking about the environment being like that because there'll only be 500 people left in the world.
But something tells me that our Lord and Savior is not going to allow that to happen. He's not going to just let this earth just lose residence and the 1% of the 1% get to stay alive.
Yeah. Well, they're fighting, you know, to do just that, immortality. Through technocracy.
And whatever they can do to kill people. So if there's World War III, then they're happy because they get to kill people.
Exactly. You know, but you've got elitists will want to live forever, but common folk will die and end up as rich compost. You know, that's taken right out of the technocracy handbook. And what just recently happened? Oh, California is going to allow you to compost your loved ones for the greater of mankind. And I want to touch base since we're talking about this. And this is an article from Technocracy News. And it's, if you've never looked them up, Patrick Wood's a great editor, and there's a lot of enlightening articles and editorials on there. But so this article is kind of long, but I wanted to touch base on a couple of it. But the opening of it is, elitists want to live forever, but common folks will die and end up as rich compost. Transhumanism and technocracy are evil twins that are currently in control of the global narrative, policies, and outcomes. They must be rejected before they do permanent damage to humans and the planet we live on. So fear of death is intricate to human life. as our years accumulate, we watch friends and family drop off one by one, disappearing from our presence and lingering only in memories. Barring some miracle, divine or otherwise, we're all soon to follow down to the sweetest baby ever born. Unfazed by this horror, the faithful are emboldened by the belief in resurrection or reincarnation, a direct participation in the internal. For religious people, the body is just a vehicle for a transcendent soul. The mystery of the death is a rite of passage. For the materialist, there is only the world beyond which the dying meet total annihilation. The brain dissolves in the black nothingness. Consciousness tops with the big zero at the end of our lives, and for all sentient beings, all memory of our existence, there awaits the big zero at the end of the universe. Wallowing in this trance of sorrow are elites, and most anybody else would pay anything to live forever, or just a little longer. Held in thrall by old age, disease, and death, they put faith in biomedical protection racketeers who swear they can keep the Reaper at bay. Today, it's the vax addicts and the mask holes. Tomorrow will be the needle-poked mutants with blinking devices stuck all over them who pray for AI for a place in the cloud. Transhumanism offers synthetic salvation through three basic methods: biolongevity, bionic continuity, and digital immortality. Genomics will stop aging on the cellular level. Bionics will keep the body running with replacement parts. Once AI is sufficiently advanced, mind uploads will allow eternal communication or communion with the digital deities whom techies are busy creating. And this coming from Jared Kushner, this is a quote in this article from the president's son-in-law. I think there's a good probability the human-reptile hybrid that my generation is hopefully, with the advances in science, either the first generation to live forever or the last generation that's going to die. A more likely scenario, this is the first generation to merge with machines and the last generation to regret it. Kushner's not alone. Many credulous elites from Wall Street to the World Economic Forum have been ensnared by a techno-religion. It's unfrocked priests or the scientists and futurists who push radical gene therapies, brain-computer interfaces, and various life-logging gadgets. As the actual technology becomes more and more sophisticated, you can be sure every atheist and his lapsed uncle will fall prey to this cosmic scam. And for those who can't afford it, well, you know, there's only so much room in the lifeboat. And this goes down, it's a long article, but it goes down to Joe Biden's recent executive order, the National Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing Initiative has slated $2 billion for these high-risk, high-reward projects to write circuitry for cells and predictability program biology in the same way we write software for program computers. They also are used in conjunction with gene editing and internet of, and then gaining knowledge through internet of bodies, surveillance devices, wearable trackers, which feed every biometric data point in artificial AI, putting flesh on bones of your digital twin in theory. So I checked in and I looked at some of these companies that are investing in this technology, and some of them are no surprise. You have Altos Labs, founded by Jeff Bezos, and corporate transhumanist Yuri Milner. In 2021, they started this new biotechnology company focused on cellular rejuvenation, programming to restore cell health and resilience with the goal of reversing disease to transform medicine. Calico Labs, acquired by Google, This company is focused on the convergence of biology and technology coupled with long-term perspective and fundings of high hopes of curing death. We have the Sense Research Foundation, co-founded by the transhumanist Aubrey D. Gray in 2009. Their organization seeks to halt and reverse aging no matter what caused a given unit of damage in the first place. The same regenerative therapeutics can be used to repair it. So it's interesting that we are, that these a lot of these longevity things that they are offering are not something that you or I could afford or ever want to spend our money on. You know, like Alcor Life Extension Foundation charges $80,000 to freeze your head and $2,000 for the full body treatment. It's one way to, like, maybe be thawed out and used later. You know, we are already using 3D organs and animal organs and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to it, the normal person's not going to be able to afford any of this stuff. It's only all of this is going into the longevity of the few, the chosen few, the few that can pay billions of dollars to bankroll, get scammed out of, you know, eternity.
I just don't see where our Lord and Savior will let Earth's population just completely go by the wayside like that, though.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think that, you know, one of the things that they did in a lot of places during the scamdemic was shut down our religious institutions and place of worship for mostly Christians. And that was a blow. And I'm not saying that people didn't go back to church, but I think some people got lost along the way, you know, and it's sad, but yeah, I agree with you. I hope for, you know, the big fight. We've been saying, you know, even on this show, you know, it's for a long time that this is coming, that these are the paving stones, the scamdemic, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, all of them. You know, right down to just everything. And humanity is going to implode on itself. We're not, humans are not programmed for tyranny.
Well, in certain pockets, I guess they can have tyranny for a little bit, but look at Iran. Iran's tired of being held under a thumb.
Yeah, as they should, you know. I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen women go to college there, and we had really popular nightclubs and all kinds of things, and religious zealots and whatnot, you know, completely shut it down, and you can't, those people need to stand up for themselves, and they are doing a remarkable job. I hope one day they take their country back.
Well, and then you have China, who I don't know if they'll be able to reclaim their country anytime soon. You have Xi Jinping, who's about to be elected as the dictator for as long as he lives.
Well, yeah, and that's another angle I haven't heard a lot on. One of my first thoughts was it's got to be USA or China that blew up that pipeline.
Well, I haven't thought about China, but what would China's benefit be?
To get Russia and to just get this conflict really going, and then Russia, then they can step in, help Russia, and be Russia's, you know, best BFF, and then Russia and China against U.S. and the rest of us, and we'd be toast.
So China does not use either of the Nord Streams to get gas from China, correct?
Yeah, so they have nothing to lose. And they can get it, the conflict up and going good and get us shooting nuclear bombs at, you know, Ukraine and Russia and come in and they'll help Russia. I'm confident of it.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong because we have no idea, but I would believe that more than I would believe Russia did it to themselves.
To themselves, yeah.
Sorry, I just can't seem to get rid of this cough today.
You poor guy.
Oh. All right, well. I'll play Mr. Broccoli since I didn't play him yet. All right, let me see which one we were doing. More Monda Greens. Okay. All right, I'll get you a link here in just a second.
Okay.
Okay. So
yeah.
When you're ready, I'll go ahead and handle that.
Okay, I am ready.
All right. All right, so this one's called More Monda Greens featuring the Wiretap. You're familiar with what a Monda Green is, right?
No.
A Monda Green is
misheard.
A Monda Green is a misheard song lyric.
Oh, okay.
Like Jimi Hendrix, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So this is a follow-up to one that I did recently. So
okay, cool.
If you're ready, I'll go ahead and press the magic buttons here.
Push the magic button.
All right. All right, so we'll count down.
Okay.
So 3, 2, 1, action.
Knock, knock, green dude. It's time I bring you to the Gene Therapy Center once and for all. We need to deal with the cause even this instant. You are supporting Magan or Brandon or Governor Shiratzak. Maybe if you get a dose against COVID and moneypox, you'll perhaps be more compliant.
I will never ever in my life ever support Brandon, any of the squad, or Governor Shiratzak. They offer nothing except communism.
Exactly, green dude. We support hardcore communism. Most people do not care so long as they have no Trump as president. them dolts and nincompoops who rather eat bugs and go to the FEMA camps than have Trump as president again, sir. And FEMA camps definitely do not exist. If you think that a FEMA camp may one day be built, you are a conspiracy theorist and we will take you to the FEMA camp.
Well, I ain't interested. And also I ain't never scared. You can try to get me to take those death shots, but I'm not trying to hear that mess.
Oh. Come on, green dude. You act your ish don't stink. I am like Sweeney Gums when she sings I'm farting carrots. I'm farting carrots. I would be so honored to be in a carrot field with you.
That's not the song. She is singing about being 14 carrots and in jewelry. Not 14 carrots as in something you put up your bunghole.
Now you look here, you little biznitch. You are going to leave what I do in my 1993 Geo Metro while studying pictures of junk out of this discussion. I'm positive Selene Williams is singing about farting carrots. Now let's go to that FEMA camp that does not exist.
Well, let me show you the door to this office. It is exactly right behind you. Please move in that direction.
Ha ha, green dude. Very funny. Now let's get you to the vaccination center right this instant. Today if you get a gene therapy, they will provide a free ice cream cone for every gene therapy you have injected. Even if you pass away, they will still honor your free ice cream cones. Just like the great rapper Missy Elliott sang in 2002, come get your free cone. Come get your free cone. Come get your free cone. Getcha free cone.
Okay, now I know you are joking with me.
There is no joke here, green dude. I am serious. Moneypox is a bad, bad virus, sir. You do not want moneypox. Someone died from moneypox once a few months ago. A few children and even a dog got moneypox from sexual encounters, sir. Even the CEO of Liesnick had another heart attack yesterday after receiving another booster. Which is a complete coincidence. He has had 53 gene therapies so far. He has only had 12 heart attacks and has had COVID only 41 times since getting his first booster. Just imagine how worse it would be if he did not get the juice.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds a coincidence. I have had zero gene therapies. Which means I had zero heart attacks and have had COVID exactly zero times as well.
Well, that's the problem, green dude. You racists only think about yourselves. That's why you are too extreme, green dude.
Please explain to me how not wanting to get sick and die from a gene therapy means I hate other people. Especially when even the CDC means that people without gene therapies are not getting sick and are not a threat to others.
Do you think I bloody care about what the CDC has to say? I only care about what geoglobalist Serge Gros and Gil Bates say, sir. If them says you bees is a domestic terrorist threat for whatever reason, then you bees is a domestic terrorist threat.
Okay. So you are telling me you have no mind of your own and only do what globalists say?
Precisely, green dude. By the way, is that air conditioning I am feeling? I am feeling a bit nipply up in this something that cur.
Yes. We keep the air 80 degrees. I doubt it is cold in here.
Guess what, green dude? We banned air conditioning. Soon your office will be paying to remove your air conditioner, sir. We must take away every advantage that humans have had since the 1400s so we can bring feudalism back. We are the 1% and deserve every bit of today's comfort of living. You 99% never do right, and cisgendered humans will get the wrath of the 1% until we can legally bring all your to those FEMA camps. That they do not exist.
What makes you think you can bring 7 billion people across Earth into FEMA camps?
Who bloody told you that FEMA camps exist? Now because you falsely accused us of having FEMA camps, we must right away bring you to the local FEMA camp in this county. Now it's time to remove those dungarees and show me some delicious kumquats.
Hey, that's great. Well, nice seeing you again. Let me call security and have them carry you out of the building.
Okay, I have an idea. We can instead go to the library. There will be a drag queen story time today. You can go as my date and you can help me round up all the hot dog maps and pizza napkins so we can diddle some new childrens. I sure could go for some walnuts today. We're having a barbecue today in front of the library as we read on the latest episode of Play Dude and Play Non-Binary. You'll have to bring your own plastic bags to the barbecue though.
Why would I want to go to a drag queen story time? And why would I bring bags with me?
You want to go because I am making a demand, sir. You are bringing plastic bags because I know Tybees is green, dude. Just like Paul Young sang in the 1980s, every time you go away, you take a piece of meat with you. Don't go against Paul Young, sir.
Oh dear. Yeah. Well, that's gonna be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be a year for me, dog. Today we're dressing up like that Canadian woodshop teacher with size 150 triple Z boobs. If the children want a candy, they have to show us something and then we provide like it is Halloween. Then we provide them with a trick. They are even bringing food and for us to do tricks on.
I can show you something right now. It's called a door.
Governor Shiratzak will even be there, sir. Since he is not debating anyone on this campaign, he is available for drag queen story time. Remember, he did us a solid and required all schools to put tampon vending machines in the men's restrooms. He is going to win re-election, green dude.
That loser has a 19% approval rating and all his campaign pictures are with Brandon. Brandon is the most hated and most inept president ever. Why can't the governor debate his opponent like every other time?
Because, sir, he is a Democrat. Democrats do not have to debate. Either you want him to win re-election, or you need to have us call you out publicly for being a racist, a sexist, a genderist, a homophobe, a pedophobe, a bestialityphobe, and a domestic terrorist threat. We are better people than Republicans. We just have to say we hate Trump so the masses will vote for us.
If your ideas are so great, then why would you not want to talk to your people and debate your opponents? Are you scared that people do not want to give up their property and live in a FEMA camp? So every Democrat candidate hides in their basement until the feds can print up enough votes by a Chinese printing firm to make sure you win?
That tears it now, green dude. You're not going to spill a playbook out to all those dolts and bandywists out there. Plus you will get cited that you have knowledge of said FEMA camp. Now I am detaining you. I am personally going to redo your rights. You will come here with your pants down. Anything you say can and will be twisted in a court of law to make sure we secure a guilty plea. If you have an attorney, you will not be using them. Instead, we have our own appointed attorneys who will also help in said guilty plea. Do you understand?
Looks like I am going to have to deal with the wiretap right now. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to freedomizerradio.com and press Listen Live to keep up to date on all the anti-New World Order news. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and a lot of news you need to know about to help fight globalists. freedomizerradio.com.
Now you need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. Do you understand me, you little busy? Just for that outburst about freedomizerradio.com, I am now going to have a visual thorough inspection of your junk. For all we know, you could be hiding a hunting rifle, a machete, or an air conditioner inside your junk. You thinks you bees is a chameleon, green dude? but I will get the last laugh today. I am going to now inspect this junk and you will be required to accompany me at the drag queen story time right this instant. I am going to roast those walnuts and chestnuts on that open fire today.
All right, so that was an episode.
That was an episode. Green dude.
Well, I hope you liked it.
Yeah, they're fun. It's a different, is it a different animation company or after using?
That's the same one.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm just trying to locate different scenes that I can utilize because I don't want it to get old.
Yeah.
So I want to share this real quick here. John Fetterwoman. This is my favorite clip of the year. It's 17 seconds.
And okay. The Eagles are so much better than the Eagles. No, no.
I'm not going to get hold of that clip for a while.
That's crazy. What did he say?
The Eagles are so much better than the Eagles.
The Eagles are so much better than the Eagles. Yeah, that guy, he's something else, you know. Yeah, I'm wondering if, you know, there was speculation when he had his medical incident, a stroke or whatever, that they've been, the mainstream media has been telling everybody is cognitive, there's no cognitive, you know, it'll get better and stuff. I'm not seeing an improvement. And it's sad because I don't really like the guy, but at the same time, he is a human being, and he's got handlers and family members and supporters that if they really cared about him, they'd say, hey, you know, dude, you're not well.
But you know what's sad, though, Dahl, is the fact that in a normal election, this guy would be toast. He would be so done. But Dr. Oz is also a terrible candidate. And Trump endorsed
him. He's a joke. And Pennsylvania is a really important stronghold. I mean, there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there. Pennsylvania needs really strong leadership in all legislative branches. And I don't see that in either one of the candidates, and I'm being fair when I say either one of the candidates because, you know, naturally I lean conservative, but I do not see anything but a TV doctor, an actor on stage with Dr. Oz. I mean, I don't know.
And he provides nothing on stage. Which is strange because as a TV actor / doctor, you should be able to have a better stage presence, I guess. But he does not have it politically. He should be up. I don't care if one's a Republican and one's a Democrat. If somebody had a stroke, they should not be beating you.
Exactly. They shouldn't be. The guy with the stroke shouldn't be beating the doctor. Just say it.
Right.
I had to say it. You know, no, I couldn't agree more. And it is, it's a glaring reality of what we're faced with, that, you know, people that, you know, we always say we need people in your community to step forward. And, you know, we don't need politicians. We need patriots. But with the money that's funneled into these campaigns and these super PACs on the conservative and Democrat side, the independent, the libertarian, the you know, backseat conservative or whatever, they can't get a leg up. And we're not getting true representation in these legislative or congressional or whatever branches or governor, true legislator, true representation when that happens. We're getting the two people that can draw the biggest crowds and make the most money for these super PACs. And we've said it before, you know, grassroots, grassroots, grassroots. You and I, we've been able to collectively over the years, individually or together, interview all kinds of people that have ran that held a lot of promise that just didn't even make it to the, you know, out the gate because they didn't have that super PAC behind them or the elites behind them or this big agenda behind them. I don't even know what Dr. Oz's purpose is. I don't even think he's, is he even from Pennsylvania?
He thinks he is. I don't know. I didn't verify.
Just interesting. Huh. I'm just curious. He doesn't seem to me to be, he's more California or East Coast or,
Oh, my other favorite clip of his. This one's 11 seconds.
My name is John Fetterwoman.
Yeah, that's going to get millions of votes.
Yeah. All right.
This has to be seriously the biggest joke running for Senate, but the sad thing is that he has a decent chance to win, and people are going to be upset, but they're going to get an education, but I don't think they're going to appreciate that education.
Yeah. All right, so, Dr. Oz, he's pretty much from New Jersey.
Yes.
And he's lived there. You know, he worked in Pennsylvania. He attended the University of Pennsylvania where he got, you know, he had a couple of children in Pennsylvania and then left and went to New Jersey. And it's quite interesting because when you are running for, like, for example, in Alaska, when Don Young's seat opened up, the congressional seat opened up when he passed, there were, I don't know, 54 people that filed for candidacy, and I think like 40 of them didn't even live in Alaska, but it's not a requirement unless you win that congressional seat, you know. But I don't know if that's the case.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Apparently. Yeah. So not, but I don't know if that's the case.
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Oh, I don't know if that's the case in Pennsylvania. I'm not saying that that's the case there, but I'm just saying that, like, for example, you know, we had all these outsiders that had no, in Alaska, that had never even been to Alaska before. It was like they were applying for a job.
Hmm. So I got our ballot in the mail yesterday. And one of the ballot questions is, do we want ranked voting?
No.
No, of course I know that, but so if it passes, they'll have to throw it out there again in 2024. And if it passes two times, then they can do it.
Yep. That's insane. No, no ranked choice voting. Ranked choice voting is rank.
Yeah, that might be time to leave the state at that point, especially if Shitzak wins again.
Yes. And how's his ratings going?
Shitzak, I don't really follow out here. They're not debating, so nobody even discusses the race.
That's interesting. Is Joey Gilbert running against him?
Well, they said that Joey Gilbert finished second, so he's not running.
Oh, that's too bad. I like him.
Oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene's husband filed for divorce today.
No. He didn't want to go pig hunting?
I guess not.
You did? Did you read about that or hear about that viral clip that she did about pig hunting?
Yes. I saw that.
Oh, yeah, it was funny. Oh, that was a good one.
So, did you see that story about Lizzo?
Yes, that was disgusting. And I violated my eyes and I watched it.
I did not watch it, but I was trying to figure out if... I don't know if that qualifies as like a negligee top or something. And on the front page, I couldn't even tell if that's her cooch just hanging out there.
Oh, no. I don't know. I think that's her second stomach.
All right. Well, that's possible, I guess. But anyway, she, for those that don't know, the Library of Congress yesterday allowed Lizzo to play a 200-year-old crystal flute belonging to the founding father, James Madison. And so what she did, while the Library of Congress loaned this to Lizzo, she used it on stage. And while she was playing the flute, she was twerking. And then at the end of it, let me get the exact quote here. I'm looking for the famous quote. Anyway, it was along the lines, and I can't find it here. It was along the lines of, bitch, I just played James Madison's flute and twerked. So, I don't know why that's considered an accomplishment.
I would see something like Yo-Yo Ma and a full harmonic flutist or some in an ensemble playing, you know, our founding father's instruments and in a quartet or something. And
I could even see a Paul McCartney or something.
Well, he's not even American, though.
Yeah, but I could see it. Or Mick Jagger, at least they've been around for 50 years, 60 years.
Kid Rock.
Or Elton John. I could see people of that stature maybe getting a look-see at a flute, but Lizzo? And she just be fouled it?
She's naked. She's naked.
So you see the picture I was talking about?
Oh, yeah, and she's naked.
And I'm not somebody that's offended by nudity, but whatever this was on a stage, this was an embarrassment.
I think Matt Walsh said it the best. Twitter, Lizzo is a morbidly obese weirdo in a thong twerking around on stage while playing with a priceless piece of American history. That's the, quote, level of care, unquote, we're talking about. Also, I don't give a flying shit if it's an honor for her. That's not the point at all. Oh, my gosh. And
then
know,
Liberty fell after that. That's hilarious.
Jeez Louise. You know, and if it was such an honor for Lizzo, then maybe she should have put some damn clothes on.
Or at least, and if you're going to play that, if you want to be naked, be naked, but don't twerk. That's not what the founding fathers wanted you to do with their flutes. They did not want you to twerk with them. I think that's the least we can request. I guess you can
know,
tell I'm not interested in twerking, but go ahead, Duff.
Oh, I just, I am not sure. But I guess she is American. I was wondering if she was American or not, Lizzo.
Oh, I thought she was from Minnesota.
Yeah, I was just curious if she was American or not.
That's the one that says that she's oppressed while making $12 million a year.
Yeah, poor thing. I'd like to be oppressed, too.
Well, I'll take half of being oppressed. I'm just tired of all the entitlements.
Me too.
And I don't know if that's where America is right now as far as the average person. They don't really want people like Lizzo representing them, do they?
I don't think so. I think she's tolerated. I mean, I can't even name any of her songs. You know, and it's not her size that puts me off. I don't care what size or color anybody is. It puts me off that she is so vulgar and that she doesn't put any clothes on and she gets on stage. I just, maybe call me prude. I don't find that entertaining. I find it distracting. Maybe I would know what songs she's saying if she wasn't such a damn train wreck. And it's not, you don't even want to look at it, but it's like a bad train wreck and you don't want to see the gore, but you can't turn away at the same time. And that's how it is when I see her or the WAP singer, Cardi B, or any of them. I wouldn't know their music because I just can't watch their antics.
You know,
on
to
TV
be honest
or,
with you, Val, to this day, I've never heard that WAP song.
Yeah. I have heard bits and pieces on it, like in clips, you know, discussing the, you know, that whole debacle. But, and I know we talked about it a little bit, but yeah, it's just vulgar. And it's not art to me. That's not fun. It's degrading as a woman to see another woman up there and then people objectifying that type of behavior. You know, maybe it works for some people, but it doesn't work for all of us. And one day you're not going to be 20 years old and 300 pounds. One day she's going to be 40 years old and 1,000 pounds. And then where's she going to be? You know? Taking diabetes shots and seeing the heart doctor. And, yeah, so it's sad. It's really sad. Tell her, put some clothes on and be healthier.
Yeah, there's a certain way to do things, and that's not what I envision with professionalism, I guess. Not that there is much professionalism with musicians, but I can't do this. And I was against Miley Cyrus doing basically the same thing as well.
Yeah, and look at what did for her music career. Her music career, I don't know. I mean, she's just not even in the spotlight anymore. I mean,
no,
she went and showed everything.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
But I don't know her music, so the only other song I know of hers is Party in the USA. I can't name you three of her songs.
Yeah. She's pretty popular, not Taylor Swift popular, but she's popular.
Yeah, but if she was last decade... along with Pink, those people just aren't as popular as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see too many musicians have success in three different decades anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any bands from the 80s that I would see having a top 40 hit that was not on Stranger Things.
True. Sure.
Maybe we're just old, but I'm just not for
nope.
Globalists. I'm okay with whatever people want to do with themselves. I'm just against globalists.
Me too.
I'm just against people telling us that we have to support everything and we have to be the perfect consumer or else we don't matter. Just like that new Italian prime minister said, I don't want to be a parent one or parent two. I don't want to be a number. And if you say that, then you're extreme. I don't know how you could be extreme for just saying you have an identity. But that's what they're telling you. people that fall for this, I guess they don't care if they don't have an identity. They want to be their parent too. I don't know how they decide who's parent one and who's parent two. Do they decide that with rock, paper, scissors? Or they just let the hospital figure out who's parent one and parent two?
Or is parent one the one that can't handle changing number two diaper? Or parent two is the one that can't handle changing number two diaper?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess at this stage, I don't want to learn.
No, I do not either.
But I just can't see a world where having an identity means you're extreme. You always need groupthink. But that's what communism is. Everybody give up their selves for the common good, for the common goal, which we all know, thanks to the Georgia Guidestones, that the goal is to get Earth's population less than 500 million.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I think that people have no idea when they're complying with, you know, they're feeding into it, they're feeding the beast, they're showing their compliance by the scamdemic mandates and following them to a T and doing the group thing. We see the transgender movement with our children, and it's not a matter of the child saying, hey, you know, I'm not attracted to, you know, I'm gay or I'm a lesbian, you know. It now is like a transgender thing. And there was a swim team, state of Washington, and like eight girls out of 10 girls in the team identified as transgender or polyamorous or anything but heterosexual. And then bullied the other girls, the couple other girls that didn't do this group thing. And, you know, this is paving the road to dehumanization, just like erasing our you know, sentient beings as God intended us, you know, born in our biological body and remaining in that body. And, you know, when you look at it, it seems to be a social endemic because this is all we're hearing about these days. What, I mean, like, constantly in the news and in our school board meetings and our classrooms and our kids are discussing it and talking about it. A healthy child has no, you know, I mean, that's a threat. In reality, to a technocracy or a one-world order, you know, this agenda. But when you have 8 kids out of 10 that are identifying, these kids are money machines for the technocracy. I mean, these kids in a lifetime will spend $1 million, their parents' insurance and themselves will spend millions of dollars over a lifetime in surgery, hormone replacement, trying to repair the damage done by these hormone and gender reassigning drugs and stuff that are not tested for children, never meant for children. Most of them are used off-market. But when this happens, proof, I believe that it just breaks down humanity that much further. You got parent one, you got parent two, and their parents to what? You know? I mean, they gave birth to a, you know, one chromosome or the other, but now the child's 10 years old and has had three genders or changed their mind or had reassignment. You've got Children's Hospital in Seattle and Children's Hospital in Boston that are doing gender reassignment top surgery on preteens, children in, that are 11 and under. And I'm not joking. And it just dehumanizes people.
That would be called child abuse.
It is. It is the most, it's inhumane. And it goes against everything that, you know, biology. And they're still going to be who they are. It's not going to change their genetics. Oh, wait. Until the government, you know, changes their genetics, rewrites their code. What will that do to humanity?
And I always wonder, though, what's the benefit to this other than just being able to carry out a way to euthanize a few billion people? There's no positive to this.
No, it's mass euthanasia through things going wrong with it. And then a huge swath of the population that is no longer reproducing because they had their outie taken off and now it's an innie, but it still won't ever reproduce. Yeah, it's disgusting. And they're just making, I don't know, but this agenda is really dangerous. And they're going to make lots of money off it on the way of, you know, humanity imploding on itself, which in the end game, what's even the point of trying to make all that money?
Hey, did you see Eric Adams, what he said about New York versus Kansas?
I didn't.
That. I meant to show you this earlier, and I was sitting here wondering why I didn't.
Okay.
But he's bragging about how New York has a brand and Kansas does not. And if you watch the video clip, him and his buddies are there laughing about Kansas. He says, Kansas doesn't have a brand, ha, 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 ha. When you go there, okay, you're from Kansas, but New York has a brand. I don't know if the brand is more crime, firing people for gene therapies that kill people. I don't know if that's a brand. I don't know if no cash bail. I don't know if that's a brand. But they can mean mug and laugh and do what they want, but it doesn't help their cause at all.
Yeah, one Twitter user replied, Kansas has wheat, aerospace, Dodge City, top-tier barbecues, the Eisenhower Presidential Library, picturesque small towns with low crime and cool shit like this. New York has cash-free bail for violent repeat offenders. That was a good one.
Yeah, but I'll take safe streets and I don't need the flashiness. I just want to make sure, will I get killed if I go to work today?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take Kansas.
But that's their brand. Their brand right now is violence, huge taxes, crime, and no cash bail. So I don't know if that's a brand that you would want to put your money on.
Oh, I like Mike Pompeo said it the best on Twitter. Mayor Adams brand, ? Crime, violence, and crushing taxes. Kansas brand, nation's breadbasket and aviation capital of the world, all powered by hardworking, decent people who put family, faith, and community first.
And Adams will say, you're right. Who wants people that put family, faith, and community first? We got no cash bail.
We got no cash bail.
I think that's what the problem is that everyone's out of touch. Or it's not that they're out of touch. Some of them are. A lot of them are. But a lot of them are just clueless people that somehow lucked up into positions. And they're working way past their means.
Yeah.
And then Amy Klobuchar talking about how Democrat policies stop hurricanes somehow.
Yeah, she's a piece of work.
Yeah, Amy Klobuchar says that's why we got to win this, as that hurricane bears down in Florida. We got to win in the midterms. There is no known Democrat policy that stops hurricanes, but she did get mocked across the fruited plain. And I don't know how many of them were in Kansas.
Yeah, you know, and actually I hate to say it, but since we're talking about this clip here, oh, okay, yeah, I was looking at the one you sent this morning, was that she said, you know, this is what it is, you know, like climate change or whatever. But this hurricane's coming right before midterms, when things are going to be really hard for DeSantis to deal with, just because naturally it's hard to recover from, you know, storm damage such as this. And anything, he's going to be watched underneath a microscope for anything that goes wrong, any supply chains, any loss of life. And the Democrats are going to, they have to paint a bad picture of DeSantis. I mean, they cannot let DeSantis come out on top of this storm. And this storm is the gift of a lifetime to these. This, because they haven't gotten anything right, this administration. And it just kills them to see a state like Florida doing well.
Well, I know that a week or two ago you had Charlie Crist up there, who thinks he's going to beat DeSantis for governor. He said on day one he's going to require vaccine passports and he's going to have everybody wearing scams. On day one. And he says this in September of 2022, when there's nobody wearing scams anywhere unless you're a Democrat.
Sheeple.
But he thinks that, that's what people in Florida moved from all over the United States to do, they miss wearing their scams for some reason. That's what I mean by either out of touch or not caring. If you don't care about making people's lives better, and that's all the people that you live with, then you're not worth running in a race. And that's the thing with most Democrats is they don't have that focus. The focus is on the power. Well, if I get into office, I could do this, this, and that. When your focus should be doing the job that you are applying to do. And that's what gets lost. Eric Adams didn't run in New York City to say, I'm going to help crime skyrocket, I'm going to keep no cash bail, and I'm going to help people move out of New York. He didn't run on that.
You know, and I think that people, when they voted for him, they would see more law and order and stuff. You know, he is a law enforcement officer, and you would think that somebody with that background would come into play and clean up the city, but it's just gotten 10 times or 100 times worse since he's been there.
But that dude will get reelected again, though. It's like they people see the corruption and they like it. I guess everybody wants the freedom to know that, there was one guy that robbed 5 banks in 24 hours. And after he robbed the banks, he got caught. They wrote him out his ticket. And told him to come back to court. Okay, thank you, officer. And then he does it again. 5 times in one day. I don't know who benefits from this other than the guy robbing 5 people. But Chicago wants second-degree murder to be legal. They don't want... Yeah, they want to empty out prisons. John Fetterwoman is a big proponent of emptying out the prisons. And I'm not saying that some of the sentences could be eased, but if somebody killed 7 people and they're serving a 42-year sentence and they're in year 3, I don't think that's enough time. John Fetterwoman will say that's 3 years too many.
Well, yeah, and then you're seeing this, juvenile justice system degrading in front of our eyes and laws not being enforced, and they wonder why young kids are getting wrapped up and involved in guns and stuff. Well, it's these gangs that recruit these young kids to do their gang things. Now, and these kids will be all catch and release, and they'll have their little homie back on the street in no time and back in business, new gun, get a new gun from the gang, and they send them right back out. And that's why we have one of the reasons we do have these high statistics of gun deaths with youth are because of these kind of scenarios, is that this lack of law enforcement and enforcing the laws that we have on the books for everybody, including the juvenile justice system, has just fed these drug cartels and these gangs just fresh meat. These kids have, you know, these people, these adults sit back and they're human trafficking these kids. Essentially, and these kids think, of course, they're in a gang and they're part of something greater, but it's just a form of human trafficking.
It just seems like whatever we can do to make this a worse place to live. It doesn't benefit the community when you can let someone rob five banks and get arrested and get get a ticket and show up to court. Obviously, you haven't learned your lesson, and you know the system.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because we used to have a justice system that seemed to work, and although sometimes maybe it didn't feel fair to some people, you know, especially criminals are stupid enough to get caught time and time again. But you did the crime, you did your time. And that included juvenile offenders as well as, you know, rich offenders and poor offenders. And we're seeing now a different type of justice system and a different type of policing. And I'm going to go back to Europe again, you know, talking about what's going on. This happened in the UK. It happened in, you know, these passive forms of governance in Sweden and a lot of these European countries adopted that type of policing and justice system and relatively light sentences for horrific crimes. But, you know, you look at the youth crime statistics in European countries and also things like gangs and organized crime like human trafficking and drug dealing and stuff, the statistics are huge and shocking. Compare them to the statistics of like El Salvador, Honduras, even, you know, some of these places that are in, you know, this drug triangle in South America. Their death and crime rates don't even compare to ours. They're so low. In fact, I wonder why some of these immigrants sneak over the border to crime-ridden America anymore. You know, and Trudeau, he wants the good, you know, the dictator next door, right on the other side of the line there. He wants to take everybody's guns, door to door. And they've listed almost every type of firearm as an assault rifle. You know, this is not just here, but this is a concerted worldwide effort by the elite. Part of the agenda.
Sorry, I was just looking at the clock. I feel like I'm about to lose my voice. I've just been coughing way too much today.
I know. I was going to suggest maybe you cut it short today, but you seem to have recovered.
But hey, I'm much better
I'm
than
sure.
yesterday.
Yes. I'm sure you would understand.
I slept for most of 21 straight hours after I was sick yesterday. So, let's see. I woke up at 12:45 to let the puppy out. And then again at 3, and then I just remember 5 o'clock, the alarm going off again. And I didn't want to sit in bed the second day.
Yeah, I don't blame you. sometimes it feels better to get to move around.
Yeah. So anything else you're working on?
Nope, not much. Just hopefully get my show up and going here in October and iron that out. I go back to Prince of Wales this next week. So, yeah, that's about it.
Oh, so you'll be back in a few weeks then on Fridays.
Yeah. Well, October's just right around the corner. I was expecting to come back in October, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll get my show put up on the schedule and stuff.
Well, nobody's been beating the door down to take that time slot, so have at it. I've had a hard time attracting people lately to come be a host with us. I don't know why that is.
Huh. Well, you got ghosted by the hostess.
Yeah. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll be back tomorrow, and I should obviously be better than I was today, which is much better than I was yesterday.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's good. I'm glad you feel better. It sounds like a rough road. And tomorrow you should be full steam ahead. Do you have anything going for tomorrow? Any guests?
That's a good question because Candace will be on.
Okay.
But remember, she lives in Florida.
Oh, that's true. It's true. Might be a no-go.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, by myself, I can't vouch for doing 3 hours by myself right now. I could barely do 3 hours with me.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to just keep me posted.
Well, hey, if
we'll check in.
I don't know what you were doing tomorrow. I don't want to insinuate, but if you're available, if Candace is out due to a hurricane, I'll bother you. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I said, in the morning we'll check on her and see how she's doing.
Yeah,
and
she's
then I'll
price her. So, she's on the Atlantic Ocean side. And not the Gulf of Mexico side. So,
oh, good. Hopefully she's fine.
So I don't know if that's good or not good. Because the initial hit is on the west coast of Florida, but it has potential to reach all the way up on the east coast.
Yeah. Awesome. She should be okay. Maybe some high storm surge. But, if it doesn't pan out for her, then I'll definitely fill in tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do right now is I will send a message for when she wakes up, and we'll see if... tomorrow she'll know. I'm just sending her a message right now. All right. So as long as she responds.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so we'll keep in touch with that. Sounds good.
All right, so I'll go ahead and close it out then.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for thanking me. And everybody else, I'll be back tomorrow. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am